May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to read a few verses to you, and then talk for a few minutes. This is from Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 7. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. And then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, well, 13 and 14. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And then this one. This is from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I've cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O God, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, indeed more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, and for the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. I love that scripture. For there is forgiveness, but there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. The word fear, you know, means respect. Nothing brings more awe to us than God's ability to forgive, which is the greatest expression, one of the greatest expressions of his love in the scripture we looked at not long ago, noon. Again, the story of Jesus washing their feet. It says he loved them to the end. And that word could be translated either uttermost or all the way. And I think it carries the idea of both. And then he washed their feet and demonstrated forgiveness, told them to wash each other's feet. As if Jesus was saying, you want to love, know what love looks like to the uttermost? The most challenging thing to love? And that's the ability to forgive. Now this is Micah chapter 7. Verse 18. Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession or his treasure? Because he delights in unchanging love. And he will again have compassion on us and will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which you did swear to our forefathers from of old. Just a couple of quick things. We'll do this again probably on a Sunday at some point, but so we can go a little bit longer with it. It's impossible to love somebody and to hold unforgiveness towards them. I've heard that a lot from people. I love them, but I love them. No, you don't. You don't, not biblically. He says here, who is a God like you who pardons iniquities and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his people? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. One of the expressions of unchanging love, which he delights in, is his ability and commitment to forgive. You can't walk in unchanging love and walk in unforgiveness. You can't rewrite the Bible to justify your emotions. The verses I read to you from Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 talked about redemption, which is the forgiveness of our sins. That place from Psalm 130 talked about forgiving our iniquities, and he talked about redemption. And then it threw a word in there several times. I'm hoping in. We have hope. Israel has hope. hope's best friend is forgiveness. Because forgiveness itself, the word, when you look at the word forgive, if you just look it up, the Greek word to forgive, it means to put something away. The example being in the Old Testament when they had the scapegoat. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, they'd lay the high priest would lay his hand on the goat and transfer all the sins of the people from that year on that goat and then send it away. What does that mean? It's not there anymore. It's gone. So the idea of forgiveness is it's not there anymore. That's supernatural. Because our conscience tells us, the enemy wants to remind us, but God goes, not there anymore. And then it carries the idea of redemption. Redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins. Redemption, twice he says that, by his blood, which is the forgiveness of our sins. If redemption isn't part of it, then you've not really forgiven. Because what redemption carries is hope. Redemption says, the redemption part of forgiveness says, it's not there anymore. And, that we've talked about this before, redemption carries the idea of restoring all that was lost, you know, occasioned by your sin, or overruling for good all the loss occasioned by your sin. The point is, redemption believes now you can go forward and you have a future. That grace is so powerful, it can restore all the overrule for good and restore all the loss occasioned by sin. And anything I can do to participate in that process, I will. In other words, if somebody's hurt you and offended you, and you claim to love them, and yet you have unforgiveness in your heart towards them, because when you see them, you still see that thing they did to you, then you've not forgiven. The word forgive means put away. It's not there. Now, this is big boy, big girl stuff. This isn't little child things. It's full of risk. It's easy to hold on to stuff. And that's all about self-protection. But see, God's not really into all that. He doesn't protect himself from us at all. If he was going to protect himself for us, the moment we got safe, he'd just hit us over the head with a hammer, take us to heaven so we wouldn't hurt him or disappoint him anymore. But it doesn't work that way. He assumes our need for having our feet washed down the road. And to forgive somebody means that in Christ, because that's the only way you can do it, you got to see through the eyes of Jesus. You got to put on the mind of Christ. That's not there anymore. Well, they never asked me for forgiveness. Nobody else did. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them from the cross, they don't know what they're doing. He didn't wait to get asked. Forgiveness is an act of love. So you're saying you just let people go scot-free? No, if you have somebody whose behavior is bad, there are things you have to protect from and boundaries you have to do here and that kind of thing, I understand that. It's an attitude of your heart, though. If they've blown it and you've forgiven them, you don't view them in light of what they've done to offend you, and you have hope for them. You believe in their future. You believe that God's purposes can still be fulfilled in their life, even if they've blown it. How many times did Jesus say we should forgive? Not 70, but 70 times 7, and the point being you just keep on doing it. And that's risky. Because our poor little pitiful humanity, our flesh, may get disappointed again and again and again. But you're in Christ. So we can't use those excuses anymore. He expects us to rise up in Him and treat people as if we were Him. Because we're doing things in His name. See, we don't get to ask for things that we want that'll make our life better in His name. Whew, thank you, Jesus. I'm asking you as if I were Jesus. But I can treat other people in my name. You can't take it out when you want it. It's got to work even when it's not comfortable. Be grateful that forgiveness carries redemption. And getting even with you is not God's priority when you blow it. Making you pay back for it. It's too late. You can't make them pay for what they did by treating them and pushing them away, rejecting them. somebody else already paid for it. There's no double jeopardy in the kingdom of heaven. That's not fair when somebody's hurt you. So you want to take that one off the table? And we'll let God treat you based on what's fair? No. I think I'll settle for grace. Because unchanging love has to be a love that forgives. And forgiveness always treats somebody, I've forgiven you, so it's not there. Not that I don't know what you're capable of. If there's not been real repentance on your part, I understand that. But my attitude towards you doesn't see you like that. And I have hope for you. I'm not going to give up on you, ever. It's redemption. Or I'm not loving you, period. Now, it takes humility to love somebody. It's real. Unforgiveness is full of pride. Because we want people to, I want people to pay. They shouldn't get away with. You ever had somebody talk nice about somebody that offended you and it sort of offended you that they would talk nice about that person in light of what that person's done? Bingo. Or every conversation you have with somebody about those people or that person always brings up what they're like and what they've done. I understand. God's challenging me, the big boy Christianity, too. This is the holiness part of revival. We like the signs and wonders part, but we don't like the holiness part. The signs and wonders part won't go very far or last very long if the holiness part isn't part of it, period. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.